I'd like to let Augustine guide us in our opening thoughts this morning. Enter then into your heart. He's always inviting us to enter into our hearts. Enter then into your heart, and if you have faith, you will find Christ there. There he speaks to you. I, the preacher, must raise my voice, but he instructs you more effectively in silence. I speak in sounding words, he speaks within. Two things I'd like to leave with you this morning when we're finished. Two things to take away with you, that we have everything we need for our spiritual journey within ourselves. Augustine says how much treasure we have within, but we do not delve for it. And the second thing I'd like you to take away with you is that this kind of prayer, I think I'm quoting Thomas Merton, this kind of prayer teaches itself. And often I say to people who are looking for spiritual direction that as soon as we put you in touch with your inner self, with the inner voice, the spiritual director becomes redundant. You don't need books, you don't need teachers, you don't need courses. All you need is to listen and wait for that inner voice to speak to you. It's not that we don't enjoy books written on silent prayer or listening to good speakers, but it is a wonderful day when we discover that we have within us all that we need to solve our problems, to guide us on our way. Nobody can tell you what you should do to find your way. God doesn't reveal his will for you to others. Only you can know the way that is right for you. And as I said, the help that you need is to be found within yourself. So keeping still allows us to be guided from within. So stilling the mind, however hard it may be, and it is one of the hardest things that we ever attempt to do, I think. Stilling the noise, stilling the mind so that the noise within begins to die down and allows us in the silence to be in touch with that inner self, the deeper self. And the real journey in life is to that deeper self, going deeper and deeper into self and into God. The self which St. Paul tells us is hidden with Christ in God. A lovely thought, hidden with Christ in God. And silence is the way to that hidden self. And it is so different from our usual daily self that if we met it, we wouldn't recognize it. Because it lies hidden beneath the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. I suppose one could say that maybe one of the great tragedies in life is that we believe our own stories about ourselves. That inner self is different from the self we present to others, or if very different from the self we think we are. So what we're saying is that beneath all that concoction lies our true self. And many people go through life without ever knowing or discovering that hidden self. We can go through life believing all the stories we tell ourselves about who we are and missing that hidden self, where our true treasure lies hidden. So silence, and only silence, helps us to enter into that deep place beneath all the debris where lies the pure gold of our being. And we in a sense, I suppose, waste much of our lives thinking that the surface daily self that we live with is me. What treasure we have within, but we do not look for it or delve for it. Obviously, you find when you do go on this journey inwards, you meet many other selves. The self of the past, the wounded self, the guilty self, the child self, the shameful self, the lying self, the proud self. But the great thing is not to get sucked in to believing in those false selves, the various negative ideas of ourselves that plague us. What we're advised to do by the great teachers is to sit still and watch them come and go, because they will go if we don't give them too much attention. Watch them, as somebody said, like traffic on the road outside. Let it come, let it pass, let it go. Salute them. Say, I know you, but you're not me. And let them pass on and remain still. Even when, at a moment of turmoil or a period of turmoil, that other self, whatever it is, our wounded self, our rejected self, demands our whole attention, or seems to demand all our attention. But if we continue to sit still, we will come home to that true self that only reveals itself after we have discovered the deep silence which contains our treasure. And many people have said to me that discovering silent prayer was like coming home, and it is coming home to one's deeper self. Of course, many of us find it very difficult to believe that deep down there is a very beautiful self, a very sane self, a very good self, because we are so used to the sort of moth-eaten self that we live with every day. The poet Yeats talks about the rag and bone shop of the heart, and that's where we often find ourselves. And psychologists tell us that one of the diseases of our age is low self-esteem. And that it has reached epidemic proportions in our time. And you are finding, as you go through your periods of silent prayer, that you go layer after layer, deeper and deeper, until the real self emerges from the thick fog that envelops it. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Judy. Judy became a Catholic after her autistic son led the way at the age of 16. Very anti-religion family, very sort of negative about religion completely. But Danny, her son, went off and got himself received into the church at the age of 15 or 16. And as a result, he was followed by his older sister a year later, 2 years later by his mother, and a year later again by his younger sister, whom I received into the church. And Judy came to me for her first confession. That's how I got to know her. And after a year of being a Catholic, she said, there must be more to it than I'm finding. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. So I said, perhaps it would be a good idea to do a long retreat. So we set her up to go to St. Bino's. Not to St. Bino's, to Penmanmaur. And she was highly delighted and excited about going up the M6 and getting this whole week of quiet and peace. And the night she arrived, the sister in charge of the retreat house rang me and said, I'm afraid we're not going to be able to keep Judy. She's very unnerved by the experience. So I expected Judy to arrive back in Birmingham the following day, but she didn't. And the week went past, and the fortnight went past, and then I had a letter from her saying, "I'm very glad I didn't run away the first night, because it was only after a week of being in silence and in the quietness that I discovered who I really was." And she said a lovely thing. She said, "I felt I was myself." She was in her 50s at this stage. "I felt I was myself for the first time since I had been a child. I felt I was really myself." She had discovered her true self. But the real gift of discovering our true self, which is hidden with Christ in God, is that we discover that in the process of finding ourselves, we discover that God is at the center of our being. The one from whom we draw life is there at the very center of our being. We are united with God. We don't have to work for it, or hope for it, or pray for it. We have it, union with God by our baptism. And every human being alive is enlightened by God when they are born. So every human being draws life from God, who is at the source of their inner being. And I don't think you'd get a better image of what that union with God means or is than in today's gospel, the vine and the branches. The image that Jesus uses of the vine drawing its life from the branches. And his appeal to us in that gospel today was that we remain in him, we abide in him. And in that passage we read this morning in Mass, he uses the word remain six times. So our staying in silence, no matter what turbulence there is around us, is remaining in him, drawing our life from him. And that is why we can say that we have everything within us that we need for our life's journey. And as long as we're in touch with the silence, we are in touch with the life of God within us. We won't feel that. Most of us won't feel the presence of God, no more than we feel the blood running through our arteries. Most of us, and I speak from listening to a lot of people, feel nothing. But we are encouraged and kept going by the conviction that we are in the presence of God when we remain in silence. A Russian mystic says, "When your attention is within the heart, there too is the Lord." When your attention is in the heart, there too is the Lord. From a spiritual teacher of our time, for whom I have great regard, I offer these wonderful words. "Society never lets you become aware that there is a source of infinite guidance within you, from where God speaks. God still speaks. God has not stopped speaking." Reminds me of something Augustine said, "The word of God is always speaking, but is not always heard." So God has not stopped speaking. It is not that he spoke to Moses or to Jesus, and he does not speak to you. The only difference is that Jesus was ready to listen, and we are not ready to listen. Jesus was available to God, and we are not available. And he concludes with this striking claim: "If you go in, if you listen to your heart, you will attain such power that no power on earth can enslave you again. If you know your own inner voice," he says, "you will become free." And that again recalls something that Augustine says, which is a great help to us when we're bewildered as to what decision to make or where to go. Because Augustine tells us we have the teacher within, the best teacher of all. Your true teacher will always be the teacher within, he writes. It is he who enables you to understand in the depths of your being the truth of what is said to you. So we bring everything before him and he will teach us. I, the preacher, am pouring a torrent of words into your ears. My words are meaningless unless he who dwells within you reveal their sense to you. But before I finish, I need to remind myself and to remind us that finding the inner voice, finding inner peace, listening to the teacher within, is not the goal of our spiritual journey. It's only the halfway resting place. There is a journey back. If we are engrossed only in the journey to the centre of our being, to our hearts, then it's just an ego trip, isn't it? And going back to today's gospel, Jesus points out that remaining in him, releases in us the power to bear fruit. Those who remain in me, with me in them, bear fruit in plenty. But that's another talk, a different talk altogether. But can I just briefly, before I finish, remind us that all our efforts to remain in him are so that we can be free. I have come to set you free. Free from the heavy weight of our own burdens. Free from fear. Free from our fearful self, our restless self. Or at least free enough to go out and bear fruit. Free above all to serve those for whom you want to be a source of hope and a life-giving presence, as God is to us in the silence. Free above everything else to love. And once we become aware, or we believe firmly that Jesus is living in our hearts, offering us all that we need, then we are available for the people he sends us, and he will send people if we declare we are available. So being available to God in the silence means that we are doubly available to other people that he sends our way. For your attention.